the scribes, for pretense, make long prayers. They will receive greater condemnation. Welcome back to Huckberry House, a podcast devoted to the Word of God and the persecuted church in North Korea. My name is Bob. This is podcast number 463. It is May 4, 2016. Today, a serious conversation on the way to the celestial city. But these are not the kind of pilgrims you're used to hearing about. These are some of the bad guys on the road, if I may use that term. We're right in the middle of a conversation. I hope you can jump in with me without me explaining everything that's come to pass. These two, several guys on the road are trying to justify their worldliness and their really lack of commitment to Jesus Christ. He says, and now to the second part of the question, which concerns the tradesman. Now, this guy's name is Mr. Money Love, by the way. Mr. Money Love is speaking. Suppose such a one, a tradesman, to have but a poor employ or job in the world. But by becoming religious, he may mend his market, perhaps get a rich wife, or more and far better customers to his shop. For my part, I see no reason, but this may be lawfully done. For why? First, to become religious is a virtue. By what means soever a man becomes so. Number two, nor is it unlawful to get a rich wife, or more custom to my shop. Number three, besides, the man that gets these by becoming religious gets that which is good of them that are good by becoming good himself. So then here's a good wife and good customers and good gain, and all of these by becoming religious, which is good. Therefore, to become religious to get all these is a good and profitable design. Well, this answer thus made by this Mr. Money Love to Mr. Bien's question was highly applauded by them all, wherefore they concluded upon the whole that it was most wholesome and advantageous, and because, as they thought, no man was able to contradict it, and because Christian and Hopeful were yet within call, they jointly agreed to assault them with the question as soon as they overtook them, and the rather because they had opposed Mr. Bien's before. And so they called after them, and they stopped and stood still till they came up to them. But they concluded as they went that not Mr. Bien's, but old Mr. Hold the World should propound the question to them, because, as they supposed, their answer to him would be without the remainder of that heat that was kindled betwixt Mr. Bien's and them, at their parting a little before. So, they came up to each other, and after a short salutation, Mr. Hold the World propounded the question to Christian and his fellow, and bid them to answer it if they could. Then said Christian, even a baby in religion may answer 10,000 such questions. For if it be unlawful to follow Christ for loaves, as it is in John 6, how much more abominable is it to make of him and religion a stalking horse to get and enjoy the world? Nor do we find any other than heathens, hypocrites, devils, and witches that are of this opinion. Heathens, when Hamor and Shechem had a mind to the daughter and cattle of Jacob. Their daughters and their cattle were that which they sought to obtain. And their religion, the stalking horse they made use of to come at them. Read the whole story, Genesis 34. Then the hypocritical Pharisees were also of this religion. Long prayers were their pretense, but to get widows' houses was their intent. And greater damnation was from God their judgment. Luke chapter 20. Judas the devil, number three, was also of this religion. He was religious for the bag, that he might be possessed of what was therein, but he was lost. K. cast away, and the very son of perdition. Fourth, Simon the witch was of this religion too, for he would have had the Holy Ghost that he might have got money therewith. And his sentence from Peter's mouth was accordingly in Acts chapter 8. Number five, neither will it out of my mind but that man that takes up religion for the world will throw away religion for the world. For so surely as Judas designed the world in becoming religious, so surely did he also sell religion and his master for the same. To answer the question, therefore, affirmatively, as I perceive you have done, and to accept of as authentic such answer, is both heathenish, hypocritical, and devilish, and your reward will be according to your works. Then they stood staring one upon another, but they had not wherewith to answer Christian. Hopeful also approved of the soundness of Christian's answer, so there was a great silence among them. Mr. Byans and his company also staggered and kept behind, that Christian and Hopeful might outgo them. And then said Christian to his fellow, "If these men cannot stand before the sentence of men, what will they do with the sentence of God? And if they are mute when dealt with by vessels of clay, what will they do when they shall be rebuked by the flames of a devouring fire?" Then Christian and Hopeful outwent them again, and went till they came at a delicate plain called Ease, where they went with much content. But that plain was but narrow, so they were quickly got over it. Now at the further side of that plain was a little hill called Lucre, and in that hill a silver mine, which some of them had formerly gone that way because of the rarity of it, and had turned aside to see it. But going too near the brink of the pit, the ground, being deceitful under them, broke, and they were slain. Some also had been maimed there, and could not, to their dying day, be their own men again. And then I saw in my dream that a little off the road, over against the silver mine, stood Demas, all gentlemanlike, to call to passengers to come and see, who said to Christian and his fellow, "Ho, turn aside hither, and I will show you a thing." Christian said, "What thing so deserving as to turn us out of the way? Oh, here is a silver mine, and some digging in it for treasure. If you will come with a little pains, you may richly provide for yourselves." Then said Hopeful, "Well, let's go see." "No, not I," said Christian. "I've heard of this place before now, and how many have there been slain. And besides, that treasure is a snare to those that seek it, for it hindereth them in their pilgrimage." Then Christian called to Demas, saying, "Is not the place dangerous? Hath it not hindered many in their pilgrimage?" Demas says, "Not very dangerous, except to those that are careless." But withal he blushed as he spake. Then said Christian to Hopeful, "Let us not stir a step, but still keep on our way." Hopeful said, "I will warrant you, when Byans comes up, if he hath the same invitation as we, he will turn in thither to see." "Oh, no doubt thereof, for his principles lead him that way, and 100 to 1 but he dies there." Then Demas called again, saying, "But will you not come over and see?" Then Christian roundly answered, saying, "Demas, thou art an enemy to the right ways of the Lord of this way, and hast been already condemned for thine own turning aside by one of his majesty's judges. And why seekest thou to bring us into the like condemnation? Besides, if we at all turn aside, our Lord the King will certainly hear thereof, and will there put us to shame, where we would stand with boldness before him." Demas cried again, that he also was one of their fraternity, and that if they would tarry a little, he also himself would walk with them. Then said Christian, "What is thy name? Is it not the same by the which I have called thee?" "Yes, my name is
Demas, I'm the son of Abraham. I know you. Gehazi was your great-grandfather, and Judas your father, and you have trod their steps. It's but a devilish prank that thou usest. Thy father was hanged for a traitor, and thou deservest no better reward. Assure thyself that when we come to the king, we will do him word of this thy behavior. And thus they went their way. Well, by this time, Bienes and his companions were come again within sight, and they at the first beck went over to Demas. Now, whether they fell into the pit by looking over the brink thereof, or whether they went down to dig, or whether they were smothered in the bottom by the damps that commonly arise, of these things I am not certain, but this I observed, that they never were seen again in the way. Then sang Christian, Bienes and Silver Demas both agree. One calls, the other runs, that he may be a sharer in his lucre. So these two take up in this world and no further go. Now I saw that just on the other side of this plain, the pilgrims came to a place where stood an old monument, hard by the highway side, at the sight of which they were both concerned because of the strangeness of the form thereof, for it seemed to them as if it had been a woman transformed into the shape of a pillar. Here, therefore, they stood looking and looking upon it, but could not for a time tell what they should make thereof. At last, Hopeful espied written upon the head thereof a writing in an unusual hand. But he, being no scholar, called to Christian, for he was learned, to see if he could pick out the meaning. So he came, and after a little laying of letters together, he found the same to be this: Remember Lot's wife. So he read it to his fellow, after which they both concluded that that was the pillar of salt into which Lot's wife was turned, for her looking back with a covetous heart while she was going from Sodom for safety. Which sudden and amazing sight gave them occasion of this discourse. Christian says, Ah, my brother, this is a seasonable sight. It came opportunely to us after the invitation which Demas gave us to come over to view the hill Lucre. And had we gone over, as he desired us, and as thou wast inclined to do, my brother, we had, for aught I know, been made ourselves like this woman, a spectacle for those that shall come after to behold. Hopeful said, I am sorry that I was so foolish, and am made to wonder that I am not now as Lot's wife, for wherein was the difference betwixt her sin and mine? She only looked back, and I had a desire to go see. Let grace be adored, let me be ashamed, that ever such a thing should be in mine heart. Then Christian said, Let us take notice of what we see here, for our help for time to come. This woman escaped one judgment, for she fell not by the destruction of Sodom, yet she was destroyed by another. As we see, she is turned into a pillar of salt. Then said Hopeful, True, and she may be to us both caution and example, caution that we should shun her sin, or a sign of what judgment will overtake such as shall not be prevented by this caution. So Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, with the 250 men that perished in their sin, did also become a sign or example to beware. But above all, I muse at one thing, to wit, how Demas and his fellows can stand so confidently yonder to look for that treasure which this woman, but for looking behind her after, for we read not that she stepped one foot out of the way, was turned into a pillar of salt, especially since the judgment which overtook her did make her an example within sight of where they are, for they cannot choose but see her. did they but lift up their eyes. Then Christian said, It is a thing to be wondered at, and it argueth that their heart is grown desperate in the case. And I cannot tell who to compare them to so fitly as to them that pick pockets in the presence of the judge, or that will cut purses under the gallows. It is said of the men of Sodom that they were sinners exceedingly, because they were sinners before the Lord, that is, in his eyesight, and notwithstanding the kindnesses that he had shown them. For the land of Sodom was now like the Garden of Eden heretofore. This therefore provoked him the more to jealousy, and made their plague as hot as the fire of the Lord out of heaven could make it. And it is most rationally to be concluded that such, even such as these are, that shall sin in the sight, yea, and that too in despite of such examples, that are set continually before them to caution them to the contrary, must be partakers of severest judgments. Hopeful then said, Doubtless thou hast said the truth, but what a mercy is it that neither thou, but especially I, am not made myself this example. This ministereth occasion to us to thank God, to fear before him, and always to remember Lot's wife. Amen. And may we do the same. Amen. Thank you for coming to my website today. While you're here, why don't you subscribe so you'll know exactly when my website or my podcasts come to you. Just click on that orange button at the top and then click on iTunes. So good to have you with me. Tomorrow we will continue. I would like you to know that I have not forgotten the question and answers. And not just in Genesis. I'm halfway through Exodus now, moving right along. I'm thinking that by God's grace, this will be a through the Bible thing and a piece of literature that will be added to my Through the Bible study that is online, you can check out, and it'll be one huge volume when we're done. But very interesting questions I'm coming up with, and I'm just reading through and dealing with things that sometimes I skip over to see if I can come up with these answers for myself, and then of course share it with you. So stand by, we're going to be going through Pilgrim's Progress still quite a while, and Spurgeon. But at the end of that, we'll get back to the pure word. Thank you so much for today. Luke 20:47 is where we began. The scribes, for pretense, make long prayers. And these will receive greater condemnation. May it touch us and change us to hear Jesus speaking thus.